Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
I always say there's a divorce paradox, and the divorce paradox, and anybody who's heard me talk on various shows and things before have heard me say this, but I really can't say it enough. And that is that during the divorce, which is the worst, most traumatic time of people's lives, anytime you ever see a list of the most traumatic things that people could go through, divorce and death are always right up at the top. Number three is jail, by the way, or incarceration. So people would rather be in jail, apparently, than they'd be divorced or have a death. So it's a pretty bad situation. And in the middle of that, you have to deal with all of these crazy, crazy emotions. And yet you have to make like the most critical decisions of your life. Plus, on top of that, your behavior is being scrutinized like it never has been before.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, and to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free.
Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is crazy, stupid divorce tricks, aka what not to do. I'm Rebecca Zung.
I'm Susan Guthrie. So since Rebecca and I are divorce attorneys who've litigated divorce cases for a long time, we've been in the trenches and we've seen the crazy, crazy things that people do during divorce. The kind of things that not only drive us as your attorneys crazy, but more importantly, these things can really end up potentially hurting your outcome in the long run.
It's definitely true, Susan. And I always say there's a divorce paradox. And the divorce paradox, and anybody who's heard me talk on various shows and things before have heard me say this, but I really can't say it enough. And that is that during the divorce, which is the worst, most traumatic time of people's lives, anytime you ever see a list of the most traumatic things that people could go through, divorce and death are always right up at the top. Number three is jail, by the way, or incarceration. So people would rather be in jail, apparently, than they'd be divorced or have a death. So it's a pretty bad situation. And in the middle of that, you have to deal with all of these crazy, crazy emotions. And yet you have to make like the most critical decisions of your life. Plus, on top of that, your behavior is being scrutinized like it never has been before. Every little thing that you do is going to be scrutinized, looked at, not only by your potential ex or your soon-to-be ex-spouse, but also by other attorneys, by potentially the judge. And so, you know, in the middle of all of that, when you're dealing with fear, and I wrote a book, as many of you know, called Breaking Free, a step-by-step divorce guide to achieving emotional, physical, and spiritual freedom. And I broke the book into three sections, with emotional freedom being the first section. And the very first chapter of my book is fear, because that's the first emotion that everyone feels. But along with fear comes anger, resentment, hurt, all of these things that cause people to do crazy things, crazy, stupid things. And we sure have seen that, and it could potentially damage your outcome. Right, Susan?
Oh, gosh. I mean, that is one of the biggest truisms, I think, of being a divorce attorney, is you see people who in their normal everyday life are really calm, rational, nice people, but they are going through those emotional times like you're talking about, Rebecca. And the minute that they are mired in that fear and anger of divorce, they do things that honestly, at times I've said, I can't even believe that you just did that. And I think I've even had clients come back afterwards and say, I can't believe I did that. But at the time, when you are just wallowing in that emotional morass of negativity, and often those emotions, like you said, Rebecca, of being angry or resentful, wanting to hurt the other party, people do go out and do the stupidest things. And the problem with that is you are under a microscope while you are going through the divorce process. You get to live your life day to day when you're not getting divorced and go do your things. And in general, it doesn't matter, you know, how your behavior impacts the rest of the world for the most part. But when you are going through a divorce, every single thing you do is potentially something that can come before the judge, or in a custody case, it could be something that's reviewed by the custody evaluator or a psych evaluator. You never know. And people just do things without thinking. I think they do it out of that emotion, you know, and it definitely comes back to haunt you. You know, I've had clients who thought they were being oh so smart in hiding a raise or hiding a new job potential during the divorce process, thinking, well, I'll get my orders for support entered with this, you know, lesser amount of income, and then I'll get my raise, or then I'll get my new job. And, you know, that's a twofold problem, I think, because one, you're not being truthful, you're not being forthcoming. So sooner or later, that new job or that raise is going to come out. And then it's always going to be known that you weren't truthful. That having your credibility questioned, once you make that mistake once, you have no credibility, right? Once the judge finds out that you weren't forthcoming or that you did something like that, you never have credibility with that judge again. And then what happens is go ahead, Rebecca.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that it could potentially be an issue for child support modifications down the road. It really just depends on, you know, the type of, you know, like if somebody, you know, rejects a raise, or maybe they have their bonus, you know, pushed aside or something in, you know, and say, don't give it to me until after the divorce is over or whatever. In Florida, and I think some other states as well, if there was fraud on the financial affidavit, that can come back and be revisited and open the case back up at any time, even if it's like 15 years later. I mean, there's other types of things like mistake or whatever that after a year, you know, you can't come back and revisit that. But if there was fraud, then it can be revisited at any time. So, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's true in most states. Plus, even if you enter orders based upon your lesser income without that raise, as soon as it goes up, you're subject to a modification of your support anyway, and you're just going to find yourself back in the court system going through the whole calculation of child support or the appropriate amount of alimony as it may be all over again. So well, you actually just end up incurring costs and fees all over again.
I mean, it kind of just depends. I mean, you know, if you're the recipient of the alimony and it says that it's not modifiable for any reason in the language of the agreement, then it may not be modifiable, especially if it's for a fixed duration period of time. But it could potentially come back, you know, depending on the circumstances and depending on the law of your state. I know in Florida, it's an unforeseeable, involuntary, permanent change in circumstances that's substantial and material. So if it was foreseeable because you knew about it, so therefore, you know, you lose on that leg, then therefore you're going to be able to, your spouse is going to be able to get that modifications, and it's going to cost you a boatload of money too, because the fees for modification are extremely expensive.
Yeah. Well, you're just going right back into court again. So, and discovery can need to be done. Now they want to get your records about when you did know that you had the potential raise, when you deferred it, when the new job was offered to you. I mean, people always remember that there's usually some sort of paper trail regarding money, regarding finances and about those things. And these days, especially with email and all of those things being discoverable, it's very hard to hide bad behavior. So if you're trying to defer something because you think you're being so smart, just realize sooner or later it's probably going to come out. And when it does, it will usually come back to bite you.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And going back, so another crazy, stupid thing that we see people do is something that we call paying an emotional tax. And that's something that we actually talked a little bit about. We touched on in our episode with Jason Reynolds. So for those of you who are listening and you want to hear more about avoiding financial mistakes, in particular, the episode with Jason Reynolds in our archives is a really good one for that. And he came up with this really good thought, which I'm definitely going to be repeating over and over again, but I will give him full credit. And that is that that emotion road and financial road should always be parallel roads. They should never intersect. They should never be perpendicular to each other. They should always be parallel. And I thought that was a really good quote, not just for finances, but also in divorce in a lot of ways. And it's that goes back to that divorce paradox. But what people will do because they feel guilty or something is they'll just give in, or they just want it over. So they give up more than they should. Or maybe they just they don't want to deal with a person like who's bullying them or something like that. And so you end up paying what we call an emotional tax because you give up or give in too soon in these cases. So,
yeah.
So that's one of the other things that people do.
And it has a lot to do with that emotion that we were talking about in the beginning. But, you know, people do all kinds of crazy things. Another, you know, common stupid thing that I've seen people do are their social media posts while getting divorced. You know, today, social media rules our lives for the most part. And the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers did a study just a few years ago and found that nearly all family law cases today have some element of social media posts that impact them. So in some way, your Instagram or Facebook is going to interfere in your divorce. And it can come in a lot of different ways. People think, well, I'll stay off social media during the divorce, and they don't really think about maybe their further circle. I had a case that came in with a social media. It was a Facebook matter, and my client had not posted pictures on Facebook, but his new girlfriend posted pictures on her Facebook page, and my client's soon-to-be ex-wife somehow got onto the girlfriend's Facebook page and got all kinds of pictures of my client on a yacht in Florida with champagne and blondes and bikinis that did not, she blew them up into big poster board pictures and brought those right into court when my client was claiming he didn't have enough money to pay for the alimony that she was looking for. So that didn't fare too well for him. So another thing that you really need to take into consideration is what you are putting out there on social media. Even if you block your ex, remember, you have family members in common, you have friends in common, you may have children in common, and there are many, many ways that people can capture what you are doing out there on social media. You should stay off social media and have everybody else stay off social media while you're going through a divorce.
You know, and the other thing that people don't think of is that anything that you posted prior to the divorce starting can come right on up too. Even if it was 3 years ago. I mean, I just did a trial last month, and we showed the wife, I was representing the husband, we showed the wife something she posted 3 years ago on Father's Day saying how wonderful the dad was. And oh, we're so lucky to have you. And I'm so grateful you're such a good daddy to our son and all of that. And of course, she's claiming he's not so great now. So it was certainly admissible. I mean, the thing is, when social media all started, there was a whole conversation around whether or not those posts would be hearsay and things like that. But the general thing is now, if it's on your Facebook page and that's your name on there, and that's your profile picture, it's coming in. So,
yeah, I don't see them being kept out social media posts much at all.
No,
these days.
And the other thing is that you're not allowed to destroy evidence. And so you can't go back and go, well, I'll just deactivate or get rid of that page and then that stuff will all disappear. Well, the court will have the authority to make you reactivate and go get that stuff or subpoena Facebook or Instagram or whatever and get that stuff. So it will come back to haunt you in true form.
Well, kudos to you, Rebecca. That was a good use of your client's former spouse's Facebook page post.
Well, she put it up there, right? So,
yeah, mate, did your job for you.
Yeah.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com. Also, make sure to download your free meditation at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free-meditation. Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on Crazy Stupid Divorce Tricks, aka What Not to Do.
Every single writing, every single text, everything you put from your hand into letter form is a potential trial exhibit. So if you don't want to see it again, don't put it in writing.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including moms automatically get the kids and other divorce myths busted.
Now, we should distinguish. There is another myth that's kind of closely related to this. And that is that if I go to court, that the judge is going to see everything bad about the other person and agree with me. You know, I always have this vision that the people are going to think, I'm going to get into the courtroom and the heavens are going to open up and the judge is going to go, oh my gosh, you poor thing. How have you been living like this? Okay, he or she should definitely walk naked in the streets with everyone yelling shame. And I, you know, you should have
shame
it all.
Shame.
And let me give you 100% of his paycheck and all of the assets. And can I give you more?
And now we return to today's show.
So, and actually that kind of segues into another one that we see a lot. And this is one of the things I tell people all the time. And I say it very clearly. Remember that every single writing, every single text, everything you put from your hand into letter form is a potential trial exhibit. So if you don't want to see it again, don't put it in writing. Just imagine the judge leaning over your shoulder to review what you're about to write, you know, and then before you push that little send button, make sure it's something that you would be
edit.
Okay, that the judge would go, oh yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think you should have sent that. But that kind of goes along with something I just had in my trial last month too. And then that is, in that particular case, the wife was plotting and scheming to move to another state while she was still married. And she was luring the husband to come to the other state and hoping to get there and be there for at least 6 months so that the state would take jurisdiction over the divorce and the child. And
right.
At the same time, she was also luring her boyfriend to come up there and be with her. And the plan was to dump the husband after 6 months and live happily ever after with her new boyfriend and her son. There's the son with the husband, who is now going to be stuck in this place that he, you know, moved to for her. And
for her.
Yeah. And she had written all these emails to the boyfriend And the email said, I can't wait to live with you forever in our new place. And I went and tried on my new engagement ring today at the store. And thank you so much. It's so beautiful and all this stuff. And beautiful trial exhibits. And of course, the opposing counsel was trying to keep them out as hearsay because they were between her and the boyfriend, but she participated in the correspondence, so they were coming in. And yeah. Yes, they did. So I don't think she...
You had a lot of help from her in your case there, didn't you, Rebecca?
Yeah, and much to her chagrin, she was not a happy camper on that stand, I'll tell you that. But you know, every writing is a potential trial exhibit, so...
Well, it's so true. I mean, it's so true with emails and text messages, too, because they're instant. And so, you know, I used to tell clients, who knows you better to push your buttons and get you worked up but your spouse, right? So as you're going through this emotionally trying time and they send you one of those snotty little emails with all of the little things that they know are just going to get you worked up. And so your instant response is to just type out that, you know, I did not do that and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you just perpetuate it too, but they're also, you know, getting exactly what they want when you respond that way. So I know you know Bill Eddy, Rebecca, and he has a method for, he's with Megan Hunter, one of our former guests. They founded the High Conflict Institute, and he has a method for responding to your spouse. I just want to mention it because it's very helpful people. Right. It's called BIFF, B-I-F-F, and it stands for keep your responses brief, informative, firm, and friendly, so that they are, do not get into answering all of the accusations and all of the snotty little references that your spouse or your co-parent makes in their email. Just be brief. Be informative as to the actual content that needs to be covered. Yes, Billy needs to be picked up at 5 o'clock from his soccer game. Be firm. I expect you that you'll be there to get him, and be friendly. Thank you so much. And end it there, you know. And I pass out, Bill actually has turned that into a book, and I pass that book out like candy to clients.
Oh, I actually had a judge. She had two copies in her chambers, and she went and got them. And she gave one to my client, who was the ex-husband, and one to the other side, the ex-wife, because we were doing monthly case management conferences to see how the parenting plan was going. And
which usually means it wasn't going well if you have to have monthly meetings.
Monthly case management conferences with the judge. And she assigned the book to both of them to do a book report on. And they were supposed to come back a month later and report on what they got out of the book and how they applied it. And return the book.
And return the books. Yeah. Well, that's why I just order them in bulk, because I never get them back, but I consider it part of my my service to my clients to help them at least break free from that toxic back and forth, because it really just feeds on itself. You respond to their snotty email, they respond back, and it just keeps going. But if you just biff them, it will wind down.
Yeah, I mean, and the clients a lot of times people will say to me, well, I can't let them get away with saying that about me.
It's the principle of the thing. Yeah. Our favorite one.
Yeah, I have to respond.
Yeah. No, you know what? I always told the clients, type it all out, say what you need to say, and then put that in your archive or delete it, and then send them the BIFF response, because that's what's going to actually get you what you want. And that goes back to our overall theme here is people in divorce, because they're feeling high emotion, do things in the moment that feel right or make them feel better, such as responding to that angry text. But in the end, that doesn't really serve you well. So you need to take that moment and get a little bit of calm and just, you know, self-preservation. If you have to get it out in some way that's not going to harm you, and then behave rationally, behave with some forethought and insight into your own actions. That will serve you better in the end.
Definitely. I mean, I have seen people do crazy things, and there's one that I definitely want to make sure we get in here, and that is destroying property of the potential spouse. I had a client once who actually burned my the ex-husband's clothes that he had, all these tailored, you know, handmade shirts and suits and things that he'd spent thousands of dollars on. She burned those. She actually put dog poop in his Bruno Mali shoes.
Oh my God.
And she came in and announced it in our office. She was so proud of herself that she had done this. There was another set of clients where the wife super glued all of the husband's kitchen things to his countertop, so he couldn't move, like his coffee maker or his can opener or whatever was on his counter. I don't know. And then so he responded by coming with gardeners and digging up all of the landscaping in her yard and taking it away. So she got home and, you know, her yard is just completely barren and dug up. So
so that served them both really well, I'm sure. Yeah.
So not good. I mean, the judges do not like those kinds of things. And plus, guess what? You got to pay for that stuff.
Yeah, there's no free ride on that sort of thing. You end up, it's actually a twofold problem for you, is you look bad to the judge. That behavior does not play well in a courtroom. Those judges sit there day in and day out in family court and hear all the shenanigans people get up to while they're going through a divorce, and they don't have a lot of tolerance for it. They understand it's an emotional time, but they do expect people to behave like grown-ups. So they don't look favorably on it. And they're not going to... I had one client who took all of her husband's toys, I'll call them, motorcycles, and he had a tractor, lawnmower, and all these things that he enjoyed, and she had a tag sale, and she sold that stuff. I don't think she put very high prices on it, but she sold everything, and in the end, that ended up coming out of her part of the marital estate, the full price value, or what they were actually worth, at least, not the amount of money. You know, she sold the one of the motorcycles for a couple $100, so she paid for that in the end.
But you know, the funny thing is with this woman who burned the guy's clothes and put dog poop in the Bruno Mali shoes, that guy had cheated on her with her best friend. And, you know, he probably could have looked really bad in court, and maybe that adultery could have bitten him in the ass, you know, going back to one of our earlier episodes. But her behavior was so bad that it was kind of funny, because her response to his adultery ended up biting her in the ass, because the judge ended up smacking her down with giving her very little child support and very little, and believing everything he said and not anything she said. It really, really came back to bite her.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things you always have to keep in mind, is your bad behavior can reflect on you beyond just that act that you did, you know, just that thing that you did for the judge. Judges also are there to determine the credibility of each party, whether, because often in divorce court, it's a he said, she said thing. You know, there's a different viewpoint from both of the parties, and judges day in and day out hear the same story, but from different perspectives from the two parties.
My law partner, Jack Long, always says there's three sides to every story in divorce.
Yeah. And I know what they are. His, hers, and the truth.
Correct.
Well, and that's true, but the judge is the one who determines what the truth is. And so if it comes down to what you, who've behaved poorly, say, and your spouse who has not behaved as poorly, the judge makes credibility decisions. So your bad behavior comes back more, you know, beyond the poop in the shoe and the destruction of the clothing. As it, you know, as Rebecca just said, it can come back to then haunt your credibility. And once you lose your credibility in a courtroom, you've lost the battle.
You're sunk.
You are sunk.
You're sunk.
You are.
Yeah, you just have to hope that maybe you can mediate your case and get it settled before you end up in front of a judge, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's when you sit down at the table and start trying to work things out.
Yeah. So, and Susan and I started a mediation company, which, by the way, we want to mention is the first of its kind in the country that offers a mindfulness track in addition to a traditional divorce mediations or family law mediations. And we have locations in Chicago, Los Angeles, Greenwich, and Naples. And plus, we can do online mediations from anywhere. So, mediation can definitely help people with stupid things.
Yeah. Well, and we're excited about the mediation too, because we've got that a mindfulness component to it. And we have that because, as we're talking about in this entire episode, you need to learn some method for managing your emotions as you go through this process. We know this is hard, honestly. We've gone through it ourselves. We have gone through it with hundreds, if not thousands, of people over the many years we've practiced. So we know it's hard, but you serve yourself best and your family if you can figure out how to calm yourself, how to calm those destructive emotions, and to make rational decisions. Because the other thing we haven't really talked about here, but all this crazy stuff that you do just keeps the divorce going. It just keeps the process unfolding. You never get to the end because you're always dealing with the immediate idiocy, the immediate thing that someone has done, and you're never getting to the point where you're finalizing all your details. And I think Rebecca would say the same thing that I'm going to say. Your life is better when the divorce is over.
Oh, yeah.
It's a different life than perhaps you had in your mind up to that point, but the limbo of divorce is one of the worst things about divorce. You are stuck there where you're still married, you're still untying that relationship and restructuring it, and you don't get to move forward. So doing all this crazy stuff, not controlling your emotions, only drags the whole process out for you, and that's not beneficial to you.
That's so definitely true. And I mean, just to kind of, we're kind of getting toward the end of our time, but I wanted to just throw in a couple of the other things just so that people can hear them. Hiding money, trying to hide money. That's, you know, raiding the safety deposit box and hawking jewelry or guns or whatever. That will come back. There's a couple of others with regard to the spouse.
Yeah, I mean, slandering your spouse, going out there and talking badly about them behind their back, family, friends, or even worse, because I know there are attorneys who participate in this, hiding behind your attorney and having your attorney out there repeating your slander, your negative. And I'm using the legal term for slander, but being out there bad-mouthing your spouse, there's no positive outcome to that, especially if you have children together. You are only talking about your child or children's other parent, and there is no good that can come from that.
Yeah.
You do not look good in a courtroom.
So true. And then also stuff with the kids. So telling the kids about the divorce before the other spouse has had a chance to participate in that conversation, that's just awful for the kids. Or introducing your new, you know, person to, you have a great story about that, Susan. Here's your new mommy.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hey kids, this is Amber, and she's your new mom. I told you about that one, Rebecca, and that one came back to bite my client because he actually lost primary decision making with respect to his children going forward, meaning his ex-spouse got to make all of the major decisions about the children's upbringing if they did not agree, because he had shown such poor judgment in doing that. So that is the ultimate, I think, come back to bite you in the butt. When you lose decision making over your children, that's a big one.
Yeah.
All four. By the way, Amber did not end up being their mommy in the end. Yeah, surprise.
The other thing is changing the locks. I get that a question about that all the time. You know, judges don't like vigilante justice where you kind of take things into your own hands, you know, so don't do that.
Yeah, you can either come to an agreement about what we call exclusive possession, or you can get an order. You go to court, but you don't just go change the locks on a joint, especially if it's a jointly owned asset. You just don't go change the locks on your spouse.
Yeah.
Many states have laws against doing that. They're just going to go get a locksmith and put new locks on and spend another $1,000.
Right. Yeah. So
there are all...
Go ahead.
All kinds of crazy, stupid things that people do during their divorce due to that flurry of emotions. But as I said, you know, earlier, getting a handle on that is key to protecting yourself, to protecting your interests.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so natural to feel emotional and want to do crazy things and stupid things. My husband is a former prosecutor. And in the days where he was a prosecutor and I was doing family law, as I've always done, we used to joke that criminal law attorneys see bad people at their best and family law attorneys see good people at their worst, which I think is so true. But, but just like the writings, you know, are and is a potential trial exhibit, in some ways, everything is. I mean, everything about your behavior, everything you're doing, you know, just kind of picture the judge next to you at all times. Do you want to hear about this behavior again in court? So we came up with a little motto for you to remember, and that is, if it may cause you pain, you must refrain. Good old Johnny Cochran.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce Podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. For a limited time, get your free copy of Rebecca's best-selling divorce book, Breaking Free, a step-by-step divorce guide to achieving emotional, physical, and spiritual freedom at www.breakingfreethebook.com.
And for your free copy of Susan's Top 10 Reasons to Mediate Your Divorce, visit www.divorceinabetterway.com.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and let us know what you liked in a review.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.